Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy wherever they get their podcasts.
The FIA World Endurance Championship on RS1.
On RS1.
Part of the Radio Show Limited Network.
So, day two of the prologue here at Sebring. John Hindhoff on the ground for this Radio Show Limited special. And we started yesterday with United. I'm at that end again. Ollie Jarvis is with me now. And nice to see you in a brand new set of overalls. All very clean and tidy. How's it gone so far?
Yeah, we had a really positive day yesterday. I actually haven't driven the car so far today, but I think, you know, looking at the two cars, we're competitive. It's always difficult to tell what everybody else is doing, but we're working through our program. We're both pretty happy with the car so far. So, you know, we've got some improvements to make, but I don't think we'll really see where we are till it, you know, gets to the business end next week.
The question I was asking yesterday of your teammates is, you know, how much use is this, and how much work have you got to get through? Is there a job list to do? Are there things you want to try out?
It's always great as a driver and a team when you can test before the race. You know, especially for us, we've got Josh in the car. It's a new circuit to him. So, you know, as many laps as we can give him before the race week, you know, and every time he goes out, he's improving. So it's a huge help, I have to say. Also for myself, just to acclimatise with the car, Paul's the same. And from the team's point of view, there's a few things we want to run through. I wouldn't say it's a huge list. They seem like they've got a pretty good base car so far. So it's now just chipping away at it and hope, you know, making small improvements.
You've got a fair few laps around here under your belt down through the years. Does it change much year on year? Because, you know, it's an old circuit. It has a particular character. But those big concrete blocks, I can't imagine they stay in exactly the same place year on year.
It changes lap to lap.
Really?
I think the biggest thing here is the weather. You know, today and yesterday, we've got huge amounts of wind. But I was here testing DPI a few weeks ago, and you know, from the first day to the second was like a completely different racetrack. You know, once the wind changes direction, it has such an influence and effect on the car, and that's something, you know, you really need to take into consideration. So yeah, it really is two different racetracks at time. You know,
busy season for you as well this year. The cars are coming back in now, so I'll let you go in a minute and do the debrief. Busy season for you this year. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, you can't wait. You know, to be able to do both. WEC and IMSA, for me, you know, that's an ideal scenario. It's a busy weekend this next weekend, but you know, I'm fortunate and I'm very happy I can do both.
Wish you all the best, mate. Good to see you here. Good to see you with a smiling face, as ever. And say hi to the rest of the team.
Will do. Thank you very much.
Ollie Jarvis with us here for our first interview for our second show from the prologue. A couple of things just to clear up from yesterday. A little bit of follow-up before all the cars come back in and I grab some more victims. The Vector car didn't do too many laps until about an hour into the afternoon, the Vector Sport number 10 machine. That was just getting all the bits and pieces together. Actually, it's just pulled up not too far away from me, so I might have a little wander down there in a second. The other car that I was talking about yesterday that was getting some work done on it when we were here in the paddock yesterday afternoon was the Glickenhaus. Now, that was them just getting themselves au fait with the brake-by-wire, the Bosch system on the front, and they were making sure that that was all absolutely sorted out. And they didn't want to take any chances on that, which is absolutely understandable, of course. And that was why they took a little bit of time. But they have been out this morning. Nobody in their awning as I came back through. And I'm just going to stand by for a second because Mike Rockenfeller is just out of the Vector Sport number 10 Orica 07 Gibson. And he's just doing a quick debrief with his race engineer. Unsurprisingly, I can see from his hands, he is talking about the bumps and how things are going on. So we'll get a quick word with him in a sec. Well, I'll try not to get knocked over by the number 10 as it's been dragged in. Mike Rockenfeller, fairly animated conversation there with your engineer. First of all, tell me a little bit about yesterday. You didn't get an awful lot of running yesterday. I'm led to believe that was just making sure everything was all right with the car, making sure all the parts were here, etc.
Yeah, we had a few issues to sort out, and it took a while, and we had to change some stuff on the brakes, and so it, you know, it was not a smooth day, but yeah, we got some running in, and we could see that we were quite off, to be honest, and still today it feels like we made a small step, but you know, for me it's the first time on the LMP2 ever, but the car feels not easy at all. I think we are lacking pace compared to all the others almost, so it's still a long way to go for us. I hope this afternoon we can make a step to get the car. You know, it's like we can do one lap somehow with new tires, you can put something together maybe, but over a stint, which is important here in endurance racing, I think we are quite off.
Really tough as well for the team to come to a place like Sebring for their competitive, effectively what is their competitive WEC debut, because this is a track like no other, Mike.
Exactly. I think that's exactly what you say. I think on any other track where it's pretty flat, I think... anyway, the team is really, really good, you know, but it's just a very difficult place. And I think you have to probably run the car a little different to other places.
A little different.
Exactly. And that's why we are still, you know, fighting and struggling, actually, to find that. And look at this guy. So I'm for sure I'm not very happy. I think nobody is, of course, but it is what it is, and we try, you know, we have the tools, just need to find the right window of the car.
The window, so you're talking about getting the platform to the point where you can feel confident in it. The bumps are always going to play a part here, Mike, but you know, aside from that, you want to be able to feel the car underneath you.
Exactly. I think the bumps are there, of course, and the car will jump around and nobody... you know, we'll solve that completely. But of course, there is a certain window, like you say, where you need to be in to make somewhat of a... Because in traffic, you pass cars offline. You know, it's not like you always do the best line in the race. And the car has to give you this confidence.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we are missing quite a lot right now.
And what are you working on there for those people who don't know? Because a lot of people watch motor racing and they watch the race. They don't see what builds up to it. And certainly we don't normally get this kind of access at a test day. The WEC Prologues are great for this from my point of view and from our listeners' point of view. So are you talking about aero here? Is there much you can do there? Is it the old-fashioned bump and rebound and suspension? What are you working on at the moment?
Well, I think it's a combination. Of course, these cars, they have been reduced in aero quite a lot by the rules. So we try to get the maximum downforce we can. There's not a big magic behind. That means you run the car as low as you can, which again, here on this track, you know, it make on some bumps, you bottom out. So the floor is completely on the ground. Then you lose contact patch with the tires.
Yep.
So, and obviously you lose grip and it makes the car really nervous. And then it comes down to the spring package, but it all interacts to each other. So it's a very difficult one. What do you want? I mean, we want max downforce and max compliance. Compliance means a soft car, which not necessarily gives you a good aero platform.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of that. You know, we have corner springs like any other car, and you have third elements which keep the car, let's say, from going completely down on the straightaway when you have maximum downforce. So it keeps the car up. But it also is sometimes active then in the corner, which you really... You know, so we have to find this combination. It's a lot about the spring damping and let's say, peckers, bump rubbers. This combination has to be right.
This is old school stuff we're talking about here then, isn't it? This is not, you know, active ride, and it's not systems or anything like this. This is working with spring rates and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, the LMP2 category is so tight. It's such a good and competitive class, and if you're a little bit out, you really look not good, and that's why it is the old school stuff in a way, but this will never change in racing. If you have, we need mechanical grip, you need a suspension to get there, and the tires are the same for everybody, so of course tire pressure is a little bit of it, but it's mainly these things I told you
now. So this afternoon is the last opportunity before we go into free practice on Wednesday, and we'll have that live for you on RS1, with the only place where you can have all of the WEC sessions live from Sebring for the opener next weekend. where would you like to be? You haven't got the time to change a lot of stuff, and you only normally do sort of one thing at a time, don't you? So time is your enemy right now.
It is, yes, of course. I think now we will have it. After I'm finished with you, we will sit together as a team and see what we can change, maybe do some bigger changes for this afternoon, get that out of our mind, you know, yeah. And then next week it's only fine-tuning and get a rhythm, and that's all we can do. There's not much left, then. It goes by in a blink of an eye, in a way. And so the prologue is very important, and I still believe we can turn it around and make it even better. The team is great. The guys are working their ass off all the time. Really, really good attitude. Very high-quality people. But like you say, it just, you know, I think it looks a bit like we came here on the wrong foot.
Yeah.
And now it's not so easy to... also with one car, so you only have your own data, right? We don't really have a lot of comparison internal. So it's not easy.
It's great to see you back in a motor racing paddock and in a world championship paddock. And your smile's exactly the same. You and I have talked a little bit over the last couple of years, but you're feeling good? You're feeling good about life, and you're still ready still ready for the challenge?
Yeah, I'm feeling really good, and I think I have a good challenge ahead.
I see you're already gelling with the mechanics. Come on, old man, if everybody didn't hear that there.
Yeah, exactly. I think they are waiting for me in a meeting, so I'm feeling good. I enjoy what I'm doing.
Good for you.
I enjoy the LI Action Express deal, you know, which I will do as well, of course, this weekend in the DPI. So
yeah, congrats on that.
Yeah, it's good. It's a lot of fun, and I'm in a good position.
Go and work. Go and work. Mike Rockenfeller for Vector Sport here in the Prologue paddock. And now that everyone's come in, we'll see if we can quickly grab one or two more people before they go to their debriefs. I've just moved a few garages down now outside the WRT and Real Team by WRT awnings here. And the boss man is here, Vincent Vos. Seems like an age since I've actually seen you to speak to you. Happy New Year, and things going pretty well. Times yesterday looked good, times this morning looking good as well.
Yeah, hello, John. Well, first of all, very nice to be here, you know, under the sun of Florida.
I bet you weren't saying that yesterday when it was raining.
Yeah, well, yesterday was a bit different. But, as I said, first of all, so nice to be here. Such a great place, such a different place. And, so far, yeah, we've been running smoothly. Guys did an excellent job. Probably we did not see yet the true picture of all those cars, but so far so good, I would say.
Are you surprised at how long it took the LMH cars, the Alpine, the Glickenhaus, and even the Toyotas, how long it took them to get up to speed on the bumps here?
I think, you know, it's as we seen last year. If you remember the prologue last year in Spa, you have seen a lot of LMP2 cars in front of hypercar, and then in the last minute those LMH car and hypercar has find some extra speed. So I'm not really too worried. I think they are doing their job. The hypercar, they are doing their job. They are probably doing long run, and I think we will see some very good time by the end of the week.
Tell me about the two cars under your awning this year. You've got the one that is branded WRT proudly with the Belgian flag there for Jean Galil, Romain Franch and René Rast. And the Swiss flag car, but still run by you, which is Rui Andrade, Ferdinand Habsburg and Norman Nato. Tell us about those two cars and the two teams and what hopes you have for them after what was, frankly, Vincent, an absolutely phenomenal, spectacular. I run out of words to describe the season last year for you. How do you top that?
Well, there is a few new names. Well, actually, there is two new names to WRT, which is Jean Galil, which is new to the team, and Rui Andrade, which is new to the team. I mean, Ferdinand has been with us now for his third year. Norman Nato has been with us in GT in the past. Robin Frains is with us since 2015, and we know René, and we had René in our car since 2012. So let's say we know exactly who are in our car and where we are heading to. It's something new because we had to change our lineup from last year. Obviously, our two silver driver of last year has been upgraded to gold, and we had to find a new situation, which we are very happy too. And well, it's a new season starting, new basis. As we know, silver category has been a bit shaking since last year, and it still will be some super silver, because there will be always some super silver. But yeah, we know who we are racing with, and we are up to the challenge.
As I said, you had a fantastic year last year. How do you motivate the team after a year, your first in endurance racing, albeit you've got 12 years of experience behind you at the very highest level in other forms of racing, particularly in GT, where you know endurance? Well, how do you motivate people to go and do that again after a year that, to a lot of people on the outside, would have looked, well, that was quite easy for Von Sant and WRT last year?
Well, yeah, that's probably the picture we have from the outside, but internally we know exactly that we were not, you know, we had the last picture of the last race, which was this double weekend in Bahrain, where we probably had a car which was a little bit on top of the field. But that was not the case during the year. We won races during the year because sometimes other opponent has hurt themselves. I would say that we know that there are still room to improve, and there are still some very few points where we need to improve ourselves, and we will. And yeah, as I said, we start from zero again. Now we are running two cars in WEC. We are running with a new aero kit, less aero, a bit less power, a car which is a bit different from last year. And we are discovering Sebring. I have been myself in Sebring 20 years ago exactly.
No, that was not 20 years ago.
Yeah, that was...
God, I remember as it was yesterday.
Yeah, me too. But unfortunately, it is 20 years ago. And that was my only time in Sebring. So, it's a very different track from what the track we know from last year. Obviously, very different from Bahrain. Yeah. There is no track limit here. We don't hear about track limit. It's a proper track. It's a track where everyone enjoy to be. And you know, we are setting up the team in a very different way or manner. But we are all happy to be here. So let's keep on going.
What do you hope for this season then? You know, when you took all those trophies last year, when you took the Le Mans win, which was bittersweet, I know, because of what happened right at the very end of that race. Do you even dare to hope for a similar season this year?
My hope is to improve the level of the team. It doesn't mean that we will get the same result. You know, you need to have the same chance. You need to have the same, you know, it can, race result can change in a fraction of a second. And we know exactly that. You know, you can improve the team compared to last year and finishing fourth. Mm-hmm. So let's improve those points that we want to improve in the team. Let's do our job. Let's concentrate and focus. And let's see where we are in Le Mans.
Middle of the season, Le Mans is back, let's hope, in its proper place in June. And that, to me, does mark the middle of the season. That's what everybody's looking forward to. How important is that race still to you, to the team, and do you think to sports car racing as a whole?
Well, you know, we had a compromise Le Mans last year because we had a Le Mans with less public in a different date. It was Le Mans. It was Le Mans on track, but it was not Le Mans in terms of the whole organization. So,
and the atmosphere.
The atmosphere. That's yes. What I mean. So let's see to repeat what we did last year in a bit on a longer, at least for two of our car, because we will run three car this year in Le Mans. Let's go till the end, and let's fight till the end.
I saw a quote from you that said, "We can probably do three. We certainly couldn't do four." But you had the opportunity for four entries. How easy or difficult was it to say, "I don't know, three's enough"? Because racing is a business, and there would have been people who would have wanted to run with you a little.
Yeah, well, you know. Already to do a third car, it was a tough decision. A decision that I always said the only way to do this third car would be to have the guarantee to have a top lineup with real opportunity to achieve another win with that third car. I mean, that car must be on the level of the others. And let's say that I find this opportunity very late. Mm-hmm. I have three drivers that I know quite well. Rolf Ineichen, Mirko Bortolotti and Dries Van Thor. They all been at WRT. They are missing some experience of LMP2 cars, for sure. We will try to help them as much as we can. Obviously, we will go testing. But yeah, it's hell of a lineup, and let's see. I mean, Dries was always impressive in Le Mans. The two times he was in Le Mans, he was always a very impressive driver, and he is. Mirko has more experience about high downforce cars, single seaters on a high level. He might be, you know, he might be also someone to watch. And Rolf is a bit of mix between a gentleman driver and a driver with a lot of experience. He's a guy which is very, very focused. He will fight very hard to put himself on the level. And
I've watched him in the Creventic series, and I know how good he is, and I know how consistently good he is. You don't have to be the fastest there; you've just got to keep turning the times in. And I think that's what Rolf does very, very well indeed.
Yeah, that will be the case. And I know, you know, those GT3 cars are hell of a car to run, and are quite a difficult car to run. I would say that if we have the right amount of running for Rolf in the car. Yeah. He will adapt very quickly.
Before I let you go, and this is your lunch break, so I know you've got things to do, I'm not going to ask you about LMDH. That's a conversation for another time. But I do want to talk to you about something else that started to become apparent at the end of last year, and that is you having one, oh yeah, Rossi bloke. This Rossi bloke's come to drive for you. How's he doing? We know he's done cars, a little bit of cars before. How has he adapted to the WRT way of doing things, and how do you think he'll do when he gets to the season?
Well, you know, it's as I have said before, there is a sentence that I always said, you know, go to bed with a dream and wake up with a purpose. I'm a big dreamer. I like to dream because this gives me some great ideas. And Rossi is a legend, not only a legend on his bike, but just as a person.
Yeah.
He's a real, you know, he's a goat. He is one of those guys, you know. I contact Michael Jordan, but he was not available.
Not sure you would have got him in the car, to be absolutely true. But Valentino was up for it straight away.
Yeah, well, I contact him in somewhere around June last year, and I have to say I had to wait a little bit to have a response. But next to the response, there was a meeting. Next to the meeting, there was some goals, and I met an incredible person with, you know, you understand why he has achieved such a thing. He knows exactly how to do things, how motivate people, how, and well, I have to say he's very impressive. His technical feedback, well, this is not really a surprise, but his technical feedback is like he's sitting in a car since 10 years.
Really?
Yeah. He has really something which...
And he hasn't had to find a new vocabulary. He can talk with the engineers and make himself understood, because obviously it's slightly different only having two wheels.
Yeah. But no, actually, he did not have to find a new vocabulary. He has this, you know, way of talking, way of describing what the car is doing, which is like an international vocabulary.
Excellent.
And he's, well, obviously the way he described the car is very close to his two teammates, which are very experienced, Fred Verwisch and Nico Müller. And yeah, at the end, he's... I believe he will be there. He will be there. You know, I cannot say if it's the beginning, the first race, or the second race, yeah, or race number five. But he will be close.
I was at Silverstone for his final British Grand Prix, and I made a point of going there. And it just so happened that Eve and I weren't busy that weekend. And I heard him say in an interview there that his ambition is to go to Le Mans. First of all, my thought is Valentino Rossi at Le Mans, oh my God. And yes, let's make it happen. Is that a realistic proposition, a realistic goal for him in the future?
Well, I have read from Valet's interview that he still maybe... You know, it might still be an option for him to be in Le Mans this year.
What?
Which I was a bit surprised. But we, you know, he when he started his new career, he set himself some goals, and this would be to drive Spa, Le Mans, Nürburgring, Suzuka, Bathurst. You know, those great places that any driver would like to race at. And you know, when you see him setting his goals, you understand that I will be very surprised if he doesn't achieve those.
Interesting. Thank you for talking to me. I know you've got things to do. Enjoy the lovely weather we're going to have this afternoon with both of the cars, and we'll talk to you next week when it starts to get even a little more serious when we roll out for FP1 on Wednesday. Vincent Fos, WRT. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, John.
All right, I'm continuing my little travels down the WEC Prologue paddock here at Sebring. Rocked up outside Glicken House, and the 708, Romain Dumas, is here. It seems a very long time since I've seen you, Romain. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thanks. I mean, very happy to be here, for sure. My last Sebring, I think, was some years ago with a core team at the time in IMSA. So always nice to be here. Such a nice track, iconic track. One of the best of the world, for sure.
And were the bumps as bad as you remembered them, or had you blanked that from your mind?
I think they are the same, for sure. Car different, you know. Now this kind of prototype are a lot more heavy than it was on the past. So for sure, on the corner and so on, it's a little bit different, a lot slower. But still a great fun to have this kind of car. And we just work on the car like always on Sebring to try to find better dampers for all the bumps.
A little bit of an issue yesterday. You lost a little time came out about an hour into the afternoon session. Looked like there was some work going on around the front braking area. Has that been sorted out?
Yeah, we were yesterday morning trying to adjust this new system we have for the braking, the brake by wires. And on the afternoon, we work a little bit on it still, but we were quite fast yesterday afternoon, so it was good. So we will see today.
And what are your hopes for this season? Obviously, it can't be easy going up against the experience and the might of Toyota. Alpine have got a different concept of cars. That's not even really the same rule set here. So what goals do you set yourself and what goal do the team set themselves for 2022?
I mean, you know, last year was such a big surprise in terms of performance and results that for sure the bar is a little bit higher for this year. It's always the same, but also, you know, in my own opinion, you have the chance, you know, when you work for Porsche for so many years, you know what is able, when you are a big manufacturer, to put on the table to win races. And you cannot compare what is doing Mr. Glickenhaus and what Porsche can do. That is for sure. But at the end of the day, keep in mind that it's fantastic to see people like that again to be in this motorsport world and this high level of competition. You know, it's not so often now that you can see people who are, let's say, crazy, that's a name, to go to fight against Toyota. And I think when you see what we done last year, it's more than any respect you can have. I mean, when I see just now Roger Penske, it's for sure it's still my hero. But when you see Mr. Glickenhaus, what he's doing also now, on his own way, with his own ID, I think this, with his own money, this is quite really, really impressive.
I think that's one great thing, isn't it, Roman, about our part of the sport, about endurance racing, where there is still an enthusiast aspect to it, whether it's gentleman drivers or gentleman team owners, if you like, which is what Jim really is. I don't think there's another branch of motorsport, maybe not another branch of international world championship level sport that is like that anymore.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you have the chance here in US to have some special people like that. You know, in Europe, it's for sure more complicated, but it's why, in terms of rule, it's very important to leave it open, you know, creativity of people like that, you know. It's why I always like a race like Pikes Peak and so on, because anybody can participate with his own ID, and this is very important. For sure, you need a rule somewhere to compete each other. But it's very important that in sports car racing, they let the door open for people like that. It was the case for some years ago with Rebellion in Europe. But now in Europe, unfortunately, we don't have any more people like that. And I think Mr. Glickenhaus is the last one to have such a motivation to go like that.
We love the independent spirit. We really do. You mentioned Pikes Peak. I was last at Pikes Peak when you broke the outright record in the and the all-electric Volkswagen. That was a thing to see. You've had a relationship with that event for quite some time. What was it that first attracted you to Pikes Peak, Romain?
Well, you know, Pikes Peak is very important in France. It's a little bit like Dakar. It's why I always drive Dakar now the last years. But when I was a kid, you know, I always follow a lot of races. For sure, Le Mans was always a favorite, but Pikes Peak also. And yeah, I always said I want to do this one day, and it was in my list. I mean, like Monte Carlo Rally or all these races that I already done, and for sure Pikes Peak for that is very good for me. And I'm still doing it. Last year I drove with Champion, who was also very cool, you know, because it was a team that we always fight against
yes,
each other.
Of course.
And for the first time I had the chance to drive for the Marash family. Unfortunately, Dave passed away, but when the son called me to do Pikes Peak, I was so happy due to the fact that the father was also so passionate that I said, okay, we do it together, we'll be fun. And, you know, I like story of motorsport, even so after so many years, it's why I still dream about and still competing. A lot of my old colleagues are all now retired, but me, I'm the youngest, so I continue for a long time.
And may that continue, absolutely. Let's talk about Sebring this weekend. First time, of course, we've seen the Glickenhaus on US soil, because since Jim brought the team in, the WEC has not raced here. Is that a little bit more pressure for everyone, or is it just a bit of a homecoming?
No, I think it's no pressure on top. You know, we just have to do our job. We have a very good team, very good teammates also. I mean, the lineup is very strong. So for sure, you know, Sebring is the hardest place you can imagine when it's the first time. Why? Because all these bumps, you know, and you need to set up the car and compare LMP2 team or Toyota or Alpine. They know the place very well. And LMP2, you have 20 cars on the grid, so they can share setup, they can improve very quickly. That us is completely different, so we are alone, but we like it. We continue like that, and we see.
Wish you all the best. Give our best to Jim and the rest of the teams. Great to see you in the paddock again. Romain Dumas, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much.
Afternoon session just about to get underway, so the opportunity to grab another driver before they get called into a meeting or to go and drive. Everybody I've talked to has been really laid back, and it's been great to see some good faces. And here's one here, Jimmy Bruni, who I know it's been a while now, I still can't get used to you in these Porsche colours. It still slightly scrambles my brain. Tell me about the off-season, first of all. What did you do during the off-season?
Yeah, I mean, we had quite a long break because we only started testing a month ago. So we had quite, I'd say, 3 months off after Bahrain. And then we start working again, doing some simulator. We're speaking to each other with engineer. And in the off-season, of course, I've been a bit at home, spending time with the family, training. So yeah, it was a good off season, I would say.
Heading into 2022, I had to check this, but it is the 10th season of the World Endurance Championship. There's another 10 years of my life that have disappeared so quickly. No major changes for the car, but you are going to have to run on a different fuel this year with the new biofuel for WEC. Now, of all the manufacturers, Porsche at least have a bit of experience with that because they were running the Super Cup on a similar type of fuel last year.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but it's different, you know. For sure they have experience. We have a very good engine guys at home. So far, so good, I mean, I would say. Preparation, it's going okay, well. And now today is the last session before we really get into the race week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, honestly, I'm looking forward. I've been on this championship quite nearly every year except of the 2017 when I didn't race in a WC. So it grew up a lot. It's amazing how it grew up. And the competition, the level, how it's standing now, it's so high. And I'm happy to see this because it's really, really good. And it can be only better in the future.
Where we're sitting at the moment is about halfway down the paddock, which is backing on the back straight pit lane, which the WEC are using. And if I turn around and look either directions, there's just quality drivers and teams, Jimmy, now up and down this paddock now.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the team quality and also the level of driver is so high, very good. And this is honestly, we have to say thank you to WC because they were able to grow up and asking a high standing level for the teams to be part of this championship. So it's really good.
You've got a Corvette to race against this year. You've got a bit of experience of that in years gone by, but for the full season this year, Corvette with one car in the WEC, good for the championship. You like a bit of competition?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing for the championship. I mean, amazing for us. I mean, it's very, very good. Even if it's the last year of a GTLM Pro in this championship, it's amazing. I mean, a downside that they took them only the last year to be in. It would be better that they could have been here a while ago, you know, like before, like 2-3 years ago already. But it's better than never, but better than nothing. So I'm happy about that. Yeah, sure.
We're going to miss these GTEs, GT Le Mans cars, aren't we? We are. I think we're going to look back at them and realise that this was a super, super formula of GT car.
I agree, yeah. I mean, the cars were super good. I mean, amazing. And also, like, again, from when we start calling about the ELMC.
Yes.
And back in 2010 until now, it's amazing, huh? I mean, the cars and, like we said before, the team's level is so high. I mean, it's really, really nice.
How sophisticated are these GT cars now, like the RSR? I mean, I look at the steering wheel on that, and all I see is the 919. It's the Batmobile. It's the 919. It's a prototype. It's a prototype by any other name.
Yeah, I mean, if you see the onboards of all the cars, you know, in the GTLM, it's more like a prototype cars than you know, than a GT. But this is for sure thanks to the technology and thanks to the years that we just passed from the when we start. So it's good, it's nice. I mean, for sure it's different than when I start.
So what's next then? We know there's going to be a new GT formula. Porsche have made no secret. In fact, they're the first ones out with the new LMDH car. Did some very serious testing in Barcelona, the Circuit de Catalunya, with their new LMDH. Do you hope to be part of that program?
I mean, I'm a GT guy, honestly. I don't think so would be part of this program. But you never know. I'm ready. I've been racing in every category, from single seater to Formula One to GT. But you know, we see. I mean, at the moment, I'm focused on this year,
yes,
and then we see.
And last year, the end of last year, we had a great championship. Didn't go so well for Porsche at the end. Let's not mention that at the moment. We'll look forward. A small grid for your category, but still competitive, and you want to win it.
Of course, I mean, it's really a small field, but all strong.
Yes.
It feels like we are 50, but we are only 5.
Yes. But any one of those 5 could win. That is not an exaggeration to say that. On any given weekend, you could shuffle those 5 cars up, and it could be any rundown.
Yeah, I agree.
So where are you going to have the advantage this year with the RSR?
I mean, we improve our package, like I'm sure everybody did over the winter. We saw what was our weakness in the last year championship, and we tried to improve. But you know, you're never enough what you did over the winter. There is someone always that they work harder. But we see. I think we did a good step. Only the track can show if we did it or not.
First time for the WEC at Sebring since 2019. You'll remember this from your IMSA days, of course. Is it as you remembered it?
Yep. I mean, we won. I was my first race winning with Porsche in 19 here. So it was for sure a great place. And actually, it was my first win in Sebring. I did a lot of good podiums, finish in 12 hours. But of course, on IMSA in 2010, I won the 12 hours with Risi Competizione. But then always good position, but never win. So the first win for Porsche for me with a Porsche car in 90 was something special, and I hope we can try to do something similar.
Well, you don't have to race against Risi this weekend, but they are back in the paddock. That's great to see as well, isn't it?
Amazing for the boys, amazing for Giuseppe. So Giuseppe, it's a I work with him a lot back in the Ferrari days, and he's a motorsport guy. When you get closer to him, you always smell engine and fuel. And it's a motorsport guy. I mean, it's old style motorsport in the new era. So it's amazing that I was lucky to have been working for him.
Jimmy, thanks very much for talking to us. It's always a pleasure. I know how busy these weekends can be, so thank you for a little bit of time, and we'll speak to you during the week. We've got every single session of the WEC on RS1, part of the Radio Show Limited Network channels. We start with free practice 1 on Wednesday, and that's when things get really serious. Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you very much.
So a little bit of a break in the action. As you can hear, the cars have stopped going around. Bit of debris between 4 and 5, I think I heard, on the officials' radio. I've toddled down to the very blue and yellow Penske Logistics team number 5. This is another one of the Orica 07 Gibsons, and delighted to say that standing in front of me, looking very cool, calm and collected, is Dane Cameron. Dane, welcome back to Sebring.
Yeah, thanks very much. Excited to be here. First WEC event for myself, so we're taking it all in and trying to figure out which way is up at the moment.
First WEC event for Mr. Penske. Now, we all know why. and we all know what's happening next year, and we all know what's going on over in Mannheim, where the LMDH program is well underway. So excitement must be, what, on the limiter here?
Yeah, I mean, you should see Mr. Benz. He's here today, so that's how excited he is about this program and where we're going, to where we're headed, you know, that he came all the way down to the prologue. He came when we came to do a private test as well, so he's really excited about what's happening. He's really happy to be here. He's taking it all in, and you should see he's got definitely a good spring in his step.
And you've got Felipe Nasa and Emmanuel Collard with you. How's the team gelling?
Yeah, very well, very well. I mean, for us, it's a lot to learn. We're obviously familiar with the Orica from, you know, the Acura program and IMSA, but it's very different. The tire is very different. The aero spec is very different, you know, procedure-wise, even just the little things like, you know, the tire ovens and these are all pretty new to a lot of people in the program. So this is a really, really valuable 2 days for us here at the Prologue to just understand everything. You know, it's full operation, you know, like a proper race weekend. So it's great. So that's really what we're here trying to learn is what it takes to run these weekends, how to make this car tick. And we've been getting better and better throughout the session. We were quite good in the morning. I think Felipe is quite close again right now. So we've been chipping away at it. And, you know, there's a lot of very experienced teams that have been here for a long time. You know, they know the ins and outs of the tire and the package. So we're trying to play catch up as quick as we can. But we got some great people here.
I remember, if I think back to just before the start of the Acura program, there was a Penske entry at the last race of the season at Petit Le Mans at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. But this is taking on a full season, and with a chassis that you won't be using because it's Multimatic for the LMDH Porsche. So there will be people saying, what are you going to learn? It's clearly not about the chassis. So, and the engine combo. So what are you here to learn as a team and as individuals?
Yeah, I think what you really saw through the beginnings of that IMSA program was definitely some early struggles. And I think the team really learned from that. You know, again, they were coming not having been in sports cars for quite a long time. And to be honest, we tried to sort of run it like an IndyCar race at the first few of them. And for at least for Juan and I felt like we gave away a number of races because we didn't understand the strategy. We didn't understand what it took to win races. We weren't always prepared, you know, like we wanted to be as Team Penske. So I think they realized, yeah, the one race was great. We learned a lot. We had a little bit of a jump start, but I think we need even more. And we have the opportunity, obviously, with Felipe and I, you know, making that transition. So we had a bit of time, you know, with the lead up of getting that other car ready. We had the people in place, and it just made a lot of sense to check a lot of boxes. And I think they really just, they respect the competition here. They respect how different, you know, culture-wise and procedure-wise everything is. It's a big investment to do it, to learn, to be prepared so that this, you know, Porsche Penske program can immediately have success and hit the ground running. That's really what we're after. So, yeah, it's a little strange to kind of do something like this, but hopefully we can, you know, enjoy the fruits of this here in a year's time.
Well, Dean, all that said, and that makes perfect sense to me, but you and Philippe and Manu and Mr. Penske and everybody who would normally be in, the awning is empty at the moment because the car's on the pit lane, but everybody who's involved, you're racers. So there's no such thing as a learning year for Penske. We've said that before. So you're going out there to be competitive in a tremendously competitive field. You're not just there to make up the numbers.
No, absolutely. So that's, I think we...
It's got to be a balancing act in some respects, hasn't it?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think we respect that it might take us some time. I would say we don't expect to come in and be the best right away. And if we're not, we understand that we still have things to learn. But that, of course, anytime you drive a car that says Team Penske on the side and you drive for Mr. Penske and you have the quality people and the quality teammates that we have, yeah, we want to win races. We are racers. We want to win. You know, so that is the goal. We have a good opportunity to win. Of course, who doesn't want to win Le Mans and all these big events? So we respect it might take us a little bit of time. We're not in a rush, but of course, yeah, we're not here to drive around and we're not going to do anybody any favors. We're definitely here to win races.
If we look forward to Le Mans, 27 P2 cars at Le Mans. And 27, when you look at them, that's a quality field. We saw the entry confirmed just a few days ago. That is top to bottom. I mean, pretty decent. Very, very decent entry.
Yeah, absolutely. I think even here, just for the full championship, it's, what, 15 or thereabouts, plus or minus? So, Yeah, it's massively, massively competitive here. And you look up and down the entry list and there's some really stacked cars with some of the top names in all disciplines of motorsport are here. So, yeah, we're excited for a challenge. I think as a competitor, you want to be in a competitive environment, and it's always more satisfying to win against the best, right? So hopefully we can do that. And we're under no illusions of how difficult that's going to be. And even, you know, for me coming from more the IMSA style, it's certainly different. And what it takes to win these races is very different. You know, you get... I don't know if it's more or less. I mean, you have to kind of have a perfect day here because you don't get time back. But that said, in IMSA, you get kind of a reset. People get laps back. So you end up with maybe more cars in contention at the end. But I really feel like you have to have perfect days here to win. So, yeah, we'll see how we go.
I've now found out where the debris came from out on the circuit. The number 56 Inception Porsche has come back on the back of a flatbed, lost the most of the rear end and a bit around the left rear wheel arch as well. The wheels look to be mostly pointing in the right direction, so if that's just bodywork, I might have got away with that. Let's bring you back to the here and now, though, Dame, because there have been some changes to LMP2, but for you guys, it's a whole new project anyway, so you've got nothing to compare it against. Does that put you at an advantage or a disadvantage? A lot of the drivers and teams who I've talked to from previous years have gone, oh, we're having to get used to this new aero. Well, you guys have got nothing to compare against.
Yeah, I think regardless, it was all going to be new. I mean, we're obviously very familiar with prototype cars, and Flip and I have, you know, different spectrums of what the DPI cars were. So this is, yeah, it's a fair bit different from that in terms of power and downforce and the tire and all these things. So it's a lot to take in, but at the end of the day, I think you know what a good car feels like. So we know, I think, what we're striving to get, how we want the balance to be. So maybe we don't have any preconceived notions of like, oh, this is the setup from here or there or whatever. We're still working through all that stuff and trying to find what is it, you know, to begin with, as everybody is. So we have engineers that are familiar, and we're making a lot of progress. You know, if you look throughout the week, we've gotten better and better and better and closer towards the pointy end every session. So we're going to keep working, keep trying to get better, and yeah, try to get Mr. Penske a few wins here this year.
And a piece of cake, just, you know, 8 hours on Friday afternoon. Yeah. So only two-thirds of a normal Sebring for you.
Yeah, with three guys, it'd be a bit of a holiday. So
seriously, though, does that change how, you know, you as a driver, Felipe has done the 12 hours as well here, as is Manu, but although not, I don't think, in a prototype. Mm. Does that change how you prepare? Does it change how you're looking at your stint lengths and things like that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you're always, you know, trying to be fit for anything, be prepared for anything. You know, I think evidenced by when I did a few laps in the IndyCar, you know, a few weeks back, you know, you need to be sort of ready to take on anything, right, whether it's GT, IndyCar, or whatever. So you try to keep yourself at a strong level of fitness and prepared. So, yeah, it's nice to know you won't maybe be up against the ropes like you are in a 12-hour, 24-hour race. But I think you prepare all the same. You know, you want to be ready to go. And yeah, I think the races here are flat out, right? You're not going to get safety car rests and breaks. So I think and in a competitive field like this with, you know, none of the BOP nonsense and LMP2 to speak about, you're going to be on the limit every single lap, every single corner. So I think in some regards, it could be quite difficult as well.
Congrats on getting the shout for the IndyCar. How did all that go, and how's that looking forward to the rest of the season?
It was fun. For me, it was really cool to check that box and get to drive an IndyCar, get to do it at Team Penske. It was really cool. I felt comfortable. I think I did a good job. A lot of what we worked on, it was, you know, they had a lot of lists and things they wanted to do and validate. And, you know, they took a lot of that to St. Pete, and they went pretty well, and they were all really happy. They ran a lot of the stuff that I worked through on that day. So that was really cool. I was happy about that. That it all worked, and they were happy with it, and happy for Scotty to get that win there. Oh, yeah. But yeah, as far as I'm aware, that'll be kind of my 15 minutes of fame.
Really?
IndyCar.
Oh, what a shame.
The way the rules are and everything there, you kind of get those rookie things. So you get one. That was my one. I enjoyed it. It would have been fun to do it at you know, a little bigger circuit than the short part at Sebring, but you know, beggars can't be choosers. And I was really happy to do the day. I really appreciated that opportunity, and it was really cool. So I would have been a little sad to get, you know, hopefully the end of my career is not for a little while yet, but I would have been sad to be at the end of it and say, I wish I would have driven an IndyCar at least once, you know. So I'm happy I got to do that, take a few photos, and yeah, put it in the box.
That sounds like pretty good. All right, final one from me before I let you get away and rejoin the team, as it's still quite quiet here. We might as well use the opportunity. So looking further forward then, how much of the team that is here is involved with the testing that we've seen from what looks to be a very, very impressive looking LMDH from from Porsche. Is that being done by Porsche Motorsport? Are there elements of Penske there? I know the Mannheim operation's being set up basically as we speak.
Yeah, it's all coming online. I mean, the workload for everyone, you know, Penske side, Porsche side, is just tremendous at the moment. It's absolutely massive, the amount of work to prepare this car at this stage of the program. So really, I mean, I must thank and must give a big shout out to everyone for the hours. You would not imagine the hours that are happening behind the scenes here. But yeah, it's quite an integration. You know, you see the name of the team, and Roger and Tim have stressed that to me many times. You know, it's Porsche Penske Motorsport. It's together. There's a lot of togetherness there. So it's not a we do this or we do that. So that's all still early days, and everyone's finding their way and different responsibilities. Obviously, you know, as you would imagine, Porsche's quite in charge of the powertrain and all these types of things. So it's all coming together, and many of the people that we have here have been working on that program as well. So it's been a bit difficult to manage the people across countries and things like this and everything. So, but yeah, it's very, very going to be very, very well integrated. It is integrated at the moment, and that's just going to continue to build. As you know, it's still a new team, right? Anytime you build a new team, it takes a little bit to work out all the little bugs and things here and there. But it's going to be 100% arm in arm throughout every phase of this.
When you guys get into the bulk of the WEC in the European races, will there be a chance for you guys to get some testing time in the new car?
Yeah. Felipe and I have already driven the new car at its first outing that was in Barcelona a few weeks ago, so that was quite good.
Oh, good.
And yeah, so obviously trying to balance the workload throughout the year for all the drivers who will be involved with the program, get everybody some seat time, get everyone familiar and comfortable when the car is ready to race. So yeah, I enjoyed the first few days in the car. It's obviously quite a big job list when the car is first born. But yeah, really good signs initially, and we have some really just fabulous people on this program, and I think it's going to be great.
It's effectively the new iteration of LMP2 underneath. Does it feel very much different from an LMP2 that we would, as a driver, you would recognize?
Yeah, it's still a prototype at the end of the day, right? Mm-hmm. It's anytime you have different regulations, whether you're talking, you know, WEC, LMP2, or IPSA DPI, it's still very much a prototype, you know, and the same things make it tick and have a little bit of a feel. So it's a little bit heavier with the regulations for LMDH. So you definitely feel a little bit of weight in the car, but it still drives very much like a prototype. So,
and Barcelona's a great track to do some testing on.
Yeah, it was my first time there, so enjoyed some laps around the new circuit. So yeah, hopefully check a few more boxes throughout the year. So I'm excited to do a little bit of a different program after being at IMSA for so long. I'll definitely miss being around at all some of my favorite tracks in the U.S. this year, but excited to see some new things for sure. And Felipe and I for sure will be deeply, deeply embedded into the testing program throughout. You know, obviously we're not doing as many races as some of the typical Porsche guys do, so we'll be and we have obviously quite a lot of experience in the prototype stuff these days. So yeah, I think the two of us will be doing a fair amount of the work on top of, you know, Fred, who's already driven the car many, many days at Vysok there.
Well, you say you miss being in IMSA. We miss you being in our paddocks, but we couldn't be happier for what you're doing at the moment. And it's great to see you here and have a chance to chat. Jane Cameron, Penske Racing this weekend. Of course, Team Penske, Penske Logistics, in the number 5 car. And we'll talk, I'm sure, during the week. We'll send Shea down to the WEC pit lane as well, just to make you feel a little bit more at home when we get started on Wednesday in true competitive fashion.
Yeah, no, please do. We're looking forward to it. A new challenge is always exciting. So, we'll see how we go, and all new stuff.
Thank you to Dane Cameron. As you can hear, the cars are rolling again in the afternoon session on Sunday here at the Prologue. There goes Dane's car down the back straight. So the opportunities to speak to drivers somewhat more limited now, which is probably just as well because we're coming to the end of our time with you, but not the end of our coverage from here at Sebring. With split team and split coverage across the RSL network starting on Wednesday. We have a special midweek motorsport. Check out the time on that because it won't be standard 8 o'clock owing to track action at that time. We'll tweet that out for you so that you can tune in, and some exciting news including at least one and possibly more exclusives on midweek motorsport. And then we'll start our live track action with free practice one of the FIA WEC on RS1 and continue with full dedicated radio coverage right across the WEC event, taking in no blocks, no breaks, full 8 hours of the race on Friday. Meantime, for the IMSA side of things, that will be over on RS2 at www.imsaradio.com, and the schedule is building nicely for that, with the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, of course, and the headline event next weekend, the Mobile 1 12 Hours of Sebring. But before that, a couple of Porsche Carrera Cup North America races presented by visitcaymanislands.com, and we've got the Alan J 120 for the Michelin Pilot Challenge. That's all coming up from Sebring across the Radio Show Limited network of channels, so there's no need to miss any of the action. For the moment, from me, John Hindall, from a sunny Sebring, thanks for listening. Bye for now.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.